They don't understand the actual ownership of it, which becomes very important when we're talking estate planning and full, you know, full capital allocation plans. You have to know who owns what. And then finally, you know, how much risk am I actually taking and what return can I be expected of that specific holding?
Well, that was Ben Tejas explaining where retirees lack understanding with regards to their retirement assets and portfolio. Hey, everybody, I'm Jared Sebesta, your host. On behalf of Ben Tejas and myself, we are so glad that you are joining us here today. Well, today we're continuing our series on how to steward your retirement treasure. With nearly 20 years of helping people retire, we can boil a financial plan down into three specific questions. And if answered correctly, they will guide your financials for the remainder of your life and maximize the impact on your heirs and loved ones. Today, we break down the question, what are you stewarding? Oftentimes, retirees are not exactly sure what or how much they own. Answering this question is a critical part in the retirement planning process. In this podcast, Ben Tejas will walk you through how to answer, what are you stewarding? But also ways to identify exactly the goal for each of your assets and assess the risk-return properties of your portfolio. Enjoy this episode. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the podcast. Jared Sebesta, you're so glad that you're joining us here on Retire Repurpose. We get a lot of new people following us every week. So if this is your first time, first of all, welcome to the show. But second of all, I want you to get used to some of the things we're going to talk about on this show. The typical American dream retirement revolves around mostly a financial plan that allows you to live your life however you choose. And while we don't disagree with that, the way that we view retirement is certainly different. You heard it in the intro here today, where we believe that retirement can be now a brand new season, not only a brand new season, but the best season, not because you have now the most time to just kind of do as you wish and leisure it away for the rest of your life, but the one that you can make the most impact of. And so that's really what this is all about. It's where you take your life and you repurpose it in your retirement. So again, if you're new to the show, first of all, welcome, but get used to a little bit of a different conversation regarding the whole idea of retirement, because I think it's going to really go against what you maybe have learned or thought about retirement in the last 60 to 100 years, because it really is a fairly new topic that has really been misconstrued by society and social norms. So if you've been listening lately on the show, we've been talking basically a trilogy, a mini series within a series. The philosophy on the financial side of our business is time, talent, and treasure. We help retirees and pre-retirees steward their time, their talent, and their treasure. At the end of the day, that is what we are trying to do. Yes, the financial aspect of this is very important. We have a team of people that are very knowledgeable and can handle those retirement plans. But really, when it comes down to it, there's another side to retirement that is so important: your time, your talents. In fact, we've been getting used to asking people, of the three, which is most important: your time, your talent, your treasure. And if you answer that question here on the spot, chances are that you are going to say time, and we would agree. We have spent a number of episodes here talking about that, 7 episodes just talking about your time. What are you doing with your time? What are retirees actually doing with their time? What should you be doing with your time? How should you start each day? How should you end each day? What are non-negotiables for a day in retirement? What are some things that every single day should include? We talked about that several episodes ago. And then we talked about your talent. This is where we get into the repurpose process, where it starts with reflection. Reflecting back on your life before you just jump from career into retirement, understanding your abilities, your skills, what are some God-given talents that He has given you, and how can you utilize those with your passions and your who to really have a life that is impactful. If you missed any of those shows, I encourage you to go back about 8 to 10 episodes and listen to this series, because it leads us into the financial conversation here today. We kicked off the treasure aspect last week, where we talked about 3 important questions when it comes to stewarding your treasure. And this is going to be the beginning of really now getting down deep into these 3 questions. We're going to go deep into the question of what are you stewarding here today. I want to introduce Ben Tejas to the show. And this is an overview of what we stand for. And this is why we're excited to do this particular series. But when it comes down to time, talent, treasure, and really breaking down these 3 aspects, to us, if you can get that wrapped around your brain, you're really getting into really the heart of what we believe and what we're trying to teach people to do with their retirement.
Yeah, Jared, I think today, you know, we're talking more on the treasure side. And I can tell you, I just walked out of a two-hour meeting with a high net worth individual. And one of the things we were talking about was prioritize those three T's: time, talent, and treasure. And once again, this particular family was actually starting to reduce the stuff. They were trying to really reduce the treasure side of their life so that they could have more time, because they realized that the treasure was actually stealing from the time, which was the most important. Yeah. So that's the kind of idea that things we're talking about. And you know, last week we went, you know, into the three questions that really around treasure that we have to answer. Mm-hmm. You know, the first one is, what are you stewarding? Then we'll cover that more today. The second one is, how much is enough for you? Essentially, how much income do you need now and in the future in order to live the way you want to live? And then the last one is, you know, kind of really it's a wealth transfer plan. It's how much is really enough for your children? And then what do you do with the rest? And those three questions, if you can dial in those three, you're well on your way to stewarding the treasure side of your life, in a really God-honoring way.
We've described these three questions as basically, not basically, but in essence, 20 years of your experience doing this. Could you go out on a limb and say, you know what, if you can understand these three questions, you really have not only a foundation, but really a plan to steward the rest of your life for the rest of your retirement?
Yeah, too many times, Jerry, we make it complicated in our business. And don't get me wrong, there's a lot of strategies and process behind the work that we're doing, but those are really the three most important questions. And if you can, I mean, I know 20 years ago I didn't do it the same way, but you learn over time. And as I've grown as a professional and learn more about how people communicate and really what they're asking for in their financial plan, it comes down to those three questions.
I think there, it's an interesting concept, because we can all agree that time is the most important one, but if you don't steward your financial resources, it's hard to do the other two. It seems like this one's kind of the linchpin, but if you do this one well, the other ones follow in alignment.
Yeah, it is. And I think, you know, don't forget about the talent one either, Jared, because you know, if somebody's listening to this, they're like, well, you know, I've got a lot of money and I do have time, but I don't have my health. You know, a lot of people equate talent with just, you know, physical abilities, things to do. Sometimes it comes down to health. You take away somebody's health and their ability to do, see, experience, that makes the other ones not as important. So they're all really, really important. I just know that without time, the other two absolutely don't matter.
Yeah. And I think with anything, you know, just even with our physical health, just like you mentioned, where one is lacking, they all lack. Where one gains, they all gain. And again, we're certainly not diminishing the fact that retirement should be a financial conversation, and we're going to spend, you know, today's episode and the next couple of episodes just talking about that. But again, I think it's just with anything in overall health of people, when you can really get one dialed in, it gives you the ability to really maximize the potential of the others. And I think that that's an important point.
Yeah, it brings all three up together. Like, they all rise together. When you have a good stewardship plan around your treasure, it will help you make the most of your time. It actually ties together very nicely. If you do both of those things well, guess what? Your health may just improve. You have less stress. Your ability to do more, make sure you're moving your body and staying healthy also increases. So, yeah, very much all three important. I think the financial one, unfortunately, yeah, we're spending time on that today. But for many firms, that is the entire focus, what they do.
Yep.
And we're looking at it bigger than that.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point to re-illustrate for people listening at home. So on last week's episode, we gave everybody just kind of an overview of these three questions. You mentioned them already. What are you stewarding? How much is enough? And how much is enough for your children? And what do you want to do with the rest? Very interesting questions. Today, we're going to really just dive into this first one here, which is, what are you stewarding? Ben, just kind of let's just kind of get into this by asking the question, what's the type of work that you're doing and topics that you cover here?
Yeah, so big picture, what I want to find for every one of the clients I work with is, you know, a complete inventory of everything that they own. And it's not just getting the list of here's all my assets, but each asset should have a specific goal. We should understand the exact ownership of that asset, meaning how it's titled, and then the risk and return properties of every single thing that you're stewarding. Mm-hmm. So that's where it starts, is I want an inventory of everything you have. I mean, you have to, so many times people get in the habit of, well, I've got my, you know, mutual funds and liquid investments over here, and I kind of have a good handle on that. And then I've got, you know, I know I'm selling this business over here. I've got real estate. I've got these illiquid investments. The key is understanding how everything's titled, how much risk it's taking, and what the return is, and the ultimate goal of every single thing that you're stewarding.
I want to get deeper into that, because you're losing me just a little bit on the goal and the risk and return of that. I want you to explain that more. Are you a little shocked maybe sometimes by people that, you know, have gotten to this point in their life and they maybe don't really have a real firm grasp on this? Have you ever kind of been shocked by the amount of little information perhaps people know or don't know about their own money?
No, I'm not shocked anymore, because I've seen it. You know, I've seen some of the most successful, super smart people have just a horrible firm grasp on what they're stewarding. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, I think we're worth about this. And we actually put everything together and find out that the numbers are way different than what they thought. Mm-hmm. That's pretty common. More common is that they have no idea what the goal is for those monies.
Yeah.
You know, they just haven't put the work in to do that, because they've been so focused on the other things. They've been building a business. They've been doing what they're good at. Mm-hmm. You know, this is what we get to do. So again, it doesn't surprise me, but it is so common that at least, you know, one or all three of those sections is missing. So they don't understand the goal. They don't understand the actual ownership of it, which becomes very important when we're talking estate planning and full capital allocation plans. You have to know who owns what. And then finally, you know, how much risk am I actually taking, and what return can I be expected of that specific holding?
Let's talk about the goal for a second. I think that you probably catch people off guard, because the goal has always been to build, to increase value, to save. And they maybe never make that psychological shift as to figure out, like, what is the whole point of this? Talk about that a little bit. Give some examples of, like, you know, somebody has a business, or somebody has a piece of real estate, or they have a rental property. You know, what are some viable answers that people should be having in this situation?
Yeah, I mean, example comes to mind, Jared, is, you know, clients who have had the goal of their retirement accounts for, you know, decades of providing, you know, some tax deferred growth and eventual income in retirement, hoping that their income would go down and they can pull it out in a more tax efficient way. The goal may have been that, and really once they get there, they realize that I was a successful person. I was a hard worker. I put a lot of money into those accounts, and they've grown over the years. But I've also got businesses, and I've got different, you know, land. I've got other investments. Maybe my goal for that money should look way different. Maybe my goal for that, when I was the case this morning with the family I was meeting with, was, you know, that nest egg, what used to be the retirement nest egg in those retirement accounts, the goal is completely different today. They realize I don't need the income from that. And they're in their, you know, mid-60s. And I'm like, well, in 5 years, we can actually transition that goal, because one of their big picture goals is to get a lot of money to charity while they're living, not while they're dead, but while they're living. Mm-hmm. I'm like, well, we can give now using a qualified charitable distribution, right? We can give up to $100,000 a year per account and taxpayer to charity from that account. So while they were originally planning on spending tax dollars on some of those distributions while they pulled them in, now the entire amount, 100% of it, goes to charity. Mm-hmm. Charity doesn't pay tax. It's a wonderful way, again, transition from understanding, hey, there was a goal here, sure, retirement spending, and now those monies are going to be far more valuable if they're given away to charity.
Yeah, that's a great example. I think it's a really cool example as to just how much planning and strategy does come into play, even with, you know, a simple account like that. Talk about, like, the risk and return. What do you mean by that? Like, how does that come into play with an account like that, or a rental property, or a piece of land that they're renting?
Yeah, well, I think when you have the full picture, it allows you to potentially change the way you look at risk in accounts. So if you have liquid assets, and the best example I have is another client recently that came in, and they had, they were selling a business over a period of time on installment notes. They had some land, okay, and then they had retirement accounts. And we looked at their situation and found out that really their ideal risk, their ability to take risk, was actually fairly high, right? And let's say that those were each one-third value. So let's say they're worth $30 million, and they had $10 million in a business value, $10 million in land and real estate, and $10 million in essentially retirement accounts or liquid monies. And, you know, most planners that kind of miss this step would say, well, that retirement account, the allocation has to fit your risk profile, which it does. But when you fail to realize that they have a very consistent income coming in from selling of the business, mm-hmm. which is a third of their value, then they've got a third of their value that's in this land and real estate, which is incredibly low risk in their situation. Okay, not always, but in this case it is. That means two-thirds of their value of what they're stewarding is already incredibly low risk. Mm-hmm. So if the goal was, right, for this client to be in two-thirds safer stuff and a third more risky, that last piece, the retirement accounts and liquid investments, should not be split the same way, but could all potentially be at risk if that was mm-hmm. if that was the goal, right? So we're looking at every single aspect across the client's full capital allocation plan. We're not just looking at, hey, the retirement account's over here, you got business over there, you got land over here. It all needs to be looked at together, mm-hmm. right? When you look at how much risk and what the expected return is. So I think, you know, Some people think, well, I'm not going to disclose everything to my financial guy because it's best just to kind of hold it off. I completely disagree. The best way is to be completely transparent and honest so we know mm-hmm. the full picture and yeah. we can build that into your plan.
We're talking about what are you stewarding, just getting down to the bare bones as to, you know, how things are titled, what exactly do you own, how much is it worth, the goals, the risk and returns. That's only like step 1A1 of a couple. What's next?
Well, I think, once we have all that, the best part of what we're doing, and different planners have different software. We use a software called eMoney, which allows us to pull in all these different accounts and assets and show them each quarter or whenever we're meeting with the client, inputting those changes, right? Because everything does change. We see capital markets change. We see people's risk aptitude change over time. Their life changes. So having that updated regularly so you can see what's going on and a nice full snapshot, mm-hmm. Very valuable. And I think a key thing, Jared, as we talk about having those details that gets missed is, what if something does happen to one of the spouses? What if there's that surprise? And we've had it before where mm-hmm. clients don't have the full picture. And it's either somebody that we've met with that, you know, was a little more private or didn't share all that, or somebody that, came over from another firm and you see that we don't have that. That makes that step so much more challenging. So mm-hmm. we just really want to make sure if possible that we have all of that information. Mm-hmm. We want to understand for the goal and ownership and risk return, but also for that that situation that we hope we don't have, but you never know.
Yeah, and we'll get into wealth transfer and kind of how that looks like with wills and estate planning, all that stuff here in a couple of weeks. You also talk about faith-based investing discussions. How does that fit into this part of the equation?
Jared, more and more I'm seeing people want to understand more of what their money's doing. And typically this comes about when I have somebody who, and it isn't always somebody of faith. It can be somebody who is not necessarily a faith-driven person, but faith-driven investing has become a big part of people's lives because they want to see, when they're talking stewardship, they want to see that their money continues to, yes, have a rate of return, but they want to know and understand that it's not certainly doing harm. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that too many people miss is when they're just blindly investing money and they're not looking at the companies that are behind those investments, there are things in there that would give you pause if you knew how that money was allocated. And we can't get it all right. We're not going to know every single both company and then sub company that supports those companies and where they're all at. But we are seeing more people find interest there in understanding it. And we're doing a much better job today about discussing that with clients and then trying to find solutions that meet those questions.
Yeah. 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 As we work with people, I'm just kind of curious, how deep or how fast do you go deep into these questions? You know, is this like right away or is this after we've kind of gotten to know somebody? Like, I'm just kind of curious as to how you frame up these questions. How quickly do you bring them to the table?
Well, the big three questions right away, because those are so important, right? It's, you know, the, getting the total that you're stewarding, how much is enough, and then how much is enough for your kids and what to do with the rest. So that's early on. Mm-hmm. But some of the depth here, Jared, will take time. You know, we're not just going to overwhelm somebody and do all of this planning and then, oh, we got to get every single investment down to, you know, where we're faith-based investing, et cetera. But mm-hmm. I think the goal there, and when I talk about the faith-based investing, really it comes down to understanding what you're investing in.
Sure.
That's more than anything. So your values may be different from mine. Mm-hmm. Your values may not line up with mine. That's okay. I have lots of clients who would say, I don't agree with that. What do you agree with? How do you want your money stewarded? That's what we have to get down to. It's not me or my goals. It's understanding their goals and then making sure that their portfolio matches up with them as best we can.
Yeah, it kind of feels like this is the three questions are just kind of getting the conversation started, and it just kind of spider webs from there. But as you work through the process, you're really, you know, dotting all the I's and crossing the T's, making sure that you have everything that you need. And more importantly, you understand you understand your own goals for your own money. I think that's a big piece with it as well. We've got a couple of minutes left here. I want you to walk through some questions here that you have given and used in client meetings to kind of get further down this road and really fleshing out this question. Start by what you would normally ask somebody.
Yeah, questions are everything, Jared, because it's how you ask them, but then how you listen to them and phrase the next question, the follow-up, which is where you really get the value. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, a few questions that I'd be asking in those initial meetings is, you know, have you developed specific, the word specific is important, specific goals for your retirement accounts and other assets, right? We want to know, it sounds simple, but that's a great first one. A second one, which helps me learn a little more about risk and how the client really feels, is get them back in a place where the markets were not doing well, okay? So you bring them back to the last market drop, specifically how often did you look at or think about your account values? Did it dominate your mindset in that time?
Yeah.
Because some people say, I do want to take a lot of risk in the capital markets. I do want to risk these retirement accounts. But when it is going through times of volatility, they are making their spouse miserable because of how much they look at and talk about it.
Yeah, I think, well, just before you go to the next one, I think it's really interesting because we had one of those times not too long ago, and we all remember it, but back in 2020, when there was a massive drop, I think that that's a great time to bring to the table because it's not that long ago. We all remember it. I'm assuming that you've used that. How did you feel in 2020 when things were dive bombing
Jared,
down?
People have incredibly short memories. Right. They can remember a little bit of what their accounts did. They don't remember how they felt and then how it changed how they interacted with family members and others. So I think it's really important. You bring them back to that place.
Yeah.
And then don't forget, likely we'll go through that stuff again.
Right.
History shows us this stuff comes and goes. So you have to remember that.
Yeah.
I love this next question. And along the same thing with risk is, would you be okay if you took the least possible amount of risk, yet you accomplished your financial goals, even if it meant you missed potential growth in your portfolio? So what that's getting at is there's people out there that are like, I would feel as if I'm missing out on, right? That's the mindset. And that actually feeling as if you're missing out on would cause them more stress.
FOMO.
Yeah, exactly. Many times though, what we find is the answer to that one's no. As long as I know that my basic needs are covered, I don't need to get an exceptionally high rate of return. So essentially, are you okay with taking the least amount of risk as long as you're okay?
Yeah, that's a great question. What's next?
One of the last ones is, do you have any regrets in regards to your finances or investments? So it's both, you know, did I miss out on something? I get to know if somebody has that, I should have done something differently and it has changed the way they think about investing going forward. Maybe it's major mistakes. And then the follow-up questions on what they learned from that, how they felt in that. That's very, very important as well.
Yeah, we got about a minute left here. The last one revolves around kind of just that communication with spouse, right?
Jerry, I think one of the most important questions, the last one I'll leave with is, do you and your spouse understand the overall financial picture? And have you discussed long-term goals for your wealth? So many times we get into a client meeting and one spouse is more of the financial one. One is the non-financial, if you will. Mm-hmm. And there's a disconnect. And it's one thing to say, I just trust you, honey. You handle all the money. But it's another to, trust them, but yet understand what's going on, big picture, right? And to be communicating about your goals on spending, communicating with your goals on giving. I think making sure that you are one in those decisions is one of the most important things we can add.
Securities offered through Avantax Investment Services, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Avantax Advisory Services. Insurance services offered through an Avantax-affiliated insurance agency.
Hi, everyone. This is Meredith from the Senior Fitness with Meredith podcast, where I discuss all things for seniors, from fitness, your health and wellness journeys, how to be all over strong and beyond. I also have my mini podcast called Motivation with Meredith. It's a great, quick, motivational pick-me-up for your days. Join me. Listen now. Search for Senior Fitness with Meredith on your favorite podcast platform.